Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, it's been a couple of months, but our regular consumer protection guest is back with us today. Michelle Reinen, she directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And as always, plenty of scams to talk about. And of course, she's more than happy to answer your consumer questions. And maybe you think you've been scammed. If you have a question, join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And Michelle, thanks a lot for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
Well, here, I got a little shock this morning when I checked my credit score. They said my credit score had changed. Actually, it changed for the better, which is a good thing. But then it said I also had an alert, and it said that my email had been hijacked via LinkedIn to the dark web. We should have... Davey should have some echo chamber effect here, the dark web.
Right.
And I needed to change my email password.
And so have you done that yet, Larry?
Didn't take long. I thought, you know what? I got to do this right away.
Right. That's the important part when you have those systems in place, those alerts and those notifications acting on that information. But having your email out there on that dark web is a result of... The information they gave you was a LinkedIn breach, which I hadn't heard of yet. And so with that email, whoever gets it can start doing all sorts of different things. They can likely send fake emails to friends and family and have some kind of imposter friends and family email scam. Or then maybe they can get access to other accounts, because oftentimes your username for many, many online accounts is your email address.
Mm-hmm.
So being sure that that information changes, and then they would have to manipulate a password. So there's that, you know, I forgot my password button. And then that turns around and sends an email. But that access point, we're very connected through our emails.
Well, so I did the right thing.
You did do the right thing. It's important, though. I mean, sometimes we get notified of things and we deal with it later, and we don't know how fast information will be acted on when it's in someone else's hands. And you really need to consider acting right away when you get that information. If you're told by your bank to reset your password for some reason, use your information to go to your bank and reset that password. Don't use any links that you receive, because it could easily be from an imposter bank situation. But you need to be active in protecting that information.
Well, we have some phone scams going on. There's one in Rock County that's kind of nasty.
It is. So in the Rock County area, the consumers are getting very threatening, scary phone calls about warrants being out for their arrest. And if they don't make that payment right away, they'll come and put the handcuffs on and arrest you. But what's scary about this is the legitimacy that the phone call. It sounds very legitimate. They're actually using the sheriff's office name. They're using the clerk's name in these communications in the proper courthouse. The media reports were about Janesville, but this is circulating throughout the state. And it's easy. That's all online public official information. So it's easy in one of these scripts to just insert proper name and county here once you match with the phone number dialer. So that's not how we do business. That's not our due process system. If you're at all ever concerned, because, you know, maybe you didn't pay a parking ticket in that, or two or three, and that can turn into situations, you can certainly check online. You know, we have Wisconsin Circuit Court access online, and you could check records there, but you can always call and ask. But they don't accept payments by gift cards. They don't ask you to wire money to take care of these things. And they certainly don't call and threaten the handcuffs if you don't deal with it right now.
There was another one that I was made aware of, that it involved Sun Prairie, with the explosion in Sun Prairie. And there were people actually going to neighboring Cottage Grove and saying, we're raising money so that this doesn't happen in Cottage Grove, that sort of thing.
Right. And that was door to door, if I remember.
Yeah, door to door.
Yeah. And they were using a national charity name that normally doesn't collect door to door. They have a different method of doing that that's in person. And yeah, they were using the situation, the crisis in Sun Prairie, to certainly take advantage of giving consumers for themselves and their own betterment. And local law enforcement was contacted with regards to that, and so was the charity, so the word could get out, which is how I had also learned about that. But, you know, you have to think about when someone shows up on your doorstep out of the blue, is that how they normally do business? And if it's not, you know, they would be promoting like crazy that we're going to do something different, and don't be surprised if there would be a really big push behind those efforts. And we've seen it year after year after year that some individuals, scam artists, certainly try and take advantage after crises. We saw it with the hurricanes, mm-hmm. Hurricane Harvey, going back to Hurricane Katrina. I mean, and you just see people taking advantage of situations and setting up the imposter or the fake websites so you can make payment to them rather than the cause you actually want to help support.
If you have a question or comment, I hope you'll join in. Open lines get you on pretty quickly here at 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Mary in Milwaukee wonders if you can address the data breach at Chipotle and other companies. Sorry.
I don't know the specifics of the Chipotle data breach, actually. Our individual is working on doing those postings, but with most breaches, there will be that public announcement, and it will contain what information is compromised. And companies should do contact with those individuals who have been impacted if it contains credit card information, dates of birth, social security number information. That's our law and many other state laws as it relates to data breaches. And so then, depending upon the information that's compromised, that helps you determine how you need to respond and act. And what I mean by that is, if it's your name and your credit card number, well, now you can deal with your credit card company. Do you get a replacement card? Watch your bill. You know, the information is contained. But when you get more expansive into your date of birth and into your social security number, now you need to consider other layers of identity theft protection, such as putting a security freeze on so no one can take out new credit in your name. Just having your credit card number in a breach, that isn't going to impact your whole entire credit profile and all of that. But having that social security number gives access to much more information and allows a thief to do more harm to you. So then that's how you have to determine how to respond.
Let's take a call. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Gary in Black Creek, it's your turn. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'm a little concerned. I tried to get my new driver's license renewed, and they told me I needed a Social Security card, and I have to get a new Social Security card. Looked online, and I phoned a place that said e-forms. Looked very official, but anyway, filled out the form, gave my Social Security number, used my credit card to pay $38, and then I called the Social Security office, and which I should have done in the first place, and they said I was scammed. I'm real concerned about giving out my Social Security card on that form and wondering what steps I should do.
Well, one question I have for you, Gary, is, are you dealing with the actual Wisconsin Department of Transportation? Are you there at their service centers, or are you on an online like DMV.org or some other site?
I'm at home right now, and I just went online, and I thought I was at a Social Security site. It looked very official, and I mean, I don't know. It says right here, electronic filing form, assistance, eForms USA, Social Security application instruction sheet. Looked very official, and obviously I fell for a scam. And my main concern is I look back on the form I filled out and submitted, and I put my Social Security number on there, and wondering, what can I do to protect myself? You know,
yeah.
Well, so it sounds like you're at the Social Security Administration office, and you can call them and talk to them about that. But as far as then the further protection is, what else someone can access? And there you would want to look at a security freeze, because then people can't get extensions of credit. You'd want to monitor medical information as well or other services and be paying attention to make sure you're still getting all your regular mail.
Okay. I looked at the government site called identitytheft.com, and they said .gov, and there's credit reporting agencies called Equifax,
right,
Experian, and TransUnion, and I should use each of those and put a freeze on my credit.
Right.
That's exactly what Michelle was saying there.
Yep.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
You are at a very good site. That's the federal site, and our website mirrors that same information at datcp.wi.gov. And so you can always call our hotline as well, and they can connect you with someone in our ID theft area that can help give you information kind of step-by-step what you can do. And that's 1-800-422-7128.
All right, there we go. Thank you. So good luck, Gary. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh, boy. Let's go to Terry in Milwaukee next.
Hi, good morning. Recently, I posted an ad looking for a used bike. And within a week and a half, 2 weeks of posting the ad, I got a response from somebody with an email that was telling me they had exactly what I was looking for. And then they went on to say, to be perfectly safe, they're going to ship me the bike, and when I get it, I can open it, and if it's what I'm paying for, and if it's what I approve, then I could send the money, which initially sounds very safe, but the person that was emailing me wanted me to email a website and provide them with a passcode and some additional information, encouraging me to follow the prompts. And the website would provide verification for the shipment. Well, I emailed the guy back and told him, look, I want the name of the shipping company and I want their phone number. And he wouldn't give it to me. I'm suspecting, although it sounded, you know, safer than safe, shipping the product, waiting for me to get it, looking at it so I approve of it, and then sending the money. I'm thinking probably had I gone to that website that they sent me to, I would have been asked to open an attachment for verification of shipment or whatever and wound up with ransomware on my computer.
It could be any number of things, Michelle.
It sure could. I mean, that's a really good instinct that you followed there because it doesn't follow any normal pattern. It's not like you make payment and it holds over there until shipment arrives and then you can release the funds, but at least they could see that they're available. Often we encourage consumers to, on those online websites, to check for complaints or check for any warnings and alerts about certain postings that may exist. And, you know, to hand over that information through link after link or page after page of surveys, that none of that's necessary for the shipping and verification. So those are all little triggers that we see in other types of situations and scams.
Yeah, for sure. You were smart.
Yeah.
Terry, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And there, you had some warning signs, I believe, for auction-related items or sale-related items that probably worth talking about. We'll talk about those in just a minute here. I'm Larry Mueller. My guest today, Michelle Reinen, who directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection with our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Dave Potratz, our engineer today, Jill Nadeau, our producer, here on the Ideas Network. Our last caller raised an issue, in trying to buy and sell things online, and I know there's some things that you've been thinking about and working on a little bit relating to auction-related items, which is kind of what this is, isn't it?
It certainly could be. I mean, we see the online auctions where you're sitting there bidding and trying to be the winning bid versus just maybe the online garage sale type situation and classified ads. But we don't see any particular spike, but throughout each year we do get complaints from consumers about online auctions and that they may not get the product that they have. And usually it's not with the auction service. It's with the actual seller that's using that service. So, you know, a few reminders for consumers that use this kind of service is that most of these auction sites do have rules for both the buyers and the sellers. So be sure that you take your time to be familiar with all the policies and that you are comfortable and agree with them before you start to engage in a transaction. And it might be, you know, how they determine that winning bid and at what moment in time that that happens. So that way you won't feel cheated out of something if you're not the winning bid and think that you should be. But pay special attention to details about payment information, insurance, and privacy policies. And, you know, privacy policies, because it's online, very important that you're always reading those and how they connect. But also, before using a site where you do need to register or sign in order to have secure bids, you know that and be sure that it's at an HTTPS website. You know, whenever we're talking about giving that private information, you want to be on that secure website. And when it comes to making that credit card payment, also be sure you're at that site. But warning signs for consumers as it relates to auction scams is that all the seller has are generic photos of items, so you can't really be sure that the seller actually has the item of what's in the picture because it's just not current. If brand name items are marked down or on sale for a price that's just so low, it's too good to be true theory there. You have no way to know if that product is just a counterfeit or if it just doesn't exist again. And think about not using that friends and family money transfer method to pay for items. So as buyers are not eligible for fraud protection through that method if that's used, whereas if you're using the other payment methods, then you'll have that credit card, you'll have that fraud protection there. And same thing, not paying for items using gift cards, because again, those could be that you're just handing over the number and the PIN and that gift card information, and they'll get the payment. You won't get the item. It'll just be lost and gone. There'll be no protections there again. And then, you know, we've talked about this as it relates to romance scams and other online things where they can be fake people behind these online situations. In this case, if the seller insists on communicating or talking with you or paying outside of the normal auction site's payment system, that is certainly a big flag that you need to be aware of. And then if you start getting emails stating that you need to verify your account or reply to confirm your purchase, go to the site itself. And I think we've already said that a few times today on this show for every different situation, but just don't click on those random links.
All good advice there. Let's take some more calls. Again, you can join us, get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to Brian in Dorchester. Brian, hi. Thanks for waiting.
All right, Dorchester.
All right.
I received a call that ID'd on my iPhone as my sister, and when I answered it, it was an automated call for lowering your credit card rate. So are they now able to hack into my contacts?
Well, they certainly have the ability to spoof or misrepresent a number. We also know that they've been able to kind of hijack people's phone numbers and use that. That's a more complicated technology, but we've seen it where they actually are tagging onto someone else's number and making calls from that. It's not just the call appearance. So I don't know that it's hacked into your contacts so much as the number matching had occurred, so your phone didn't know any better.
Oh. So it might have been just pure luck, too, that number.
Well, the thing is it came up as his sister labeled, so there was the match with the contacts.
Oh.
It wasn't just the phone number. It said sister on it, so as I'm understanding it. So then that has to be a bit more of a match.
There you go, Brian. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Again, you can join us, 800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or comments. You know, right now there's, here in Wisconsin, I think it's this week, there's a tax benefit or a tax break for families going back to school, you know, buying things. And there's a lot of back-to-school sales going on right now. So I've gotten a bunch of them, and emails and everything else. But how do you make sure you get those correct sale prices once you
write? This is that conversation we always have about reading the fine print. We talk a lot about it at the holidays, making sure you know what the ad covers. Because often the special promotions might be on a particular color of something or a particular model number of something. So I remember going back to one holiday, there was the new instant cameras that my niece really wanted, and they're normally whatever dollar, but I could get it for more than 60% off if I picked teal. You know, like obviously there was a large stock of teal, but you had to pay attention to that and not be fooled that all of the pricing would be that low. So reading the advertisements and knowing about any restrictions on quantities, maybe the store only has particular sale hours for those items. If there are quantities, are there rain check issues, or is that's it? Then it's just a limited supply and you'll be done. And then the other part is the actual checkout. So that's the consumer having to know all the details and picking the right item. But then at checkout, are things scanning properly with the ad or the shelf price? And so even online, is the cart, you know, putting the right prices there? So that goes to our Bureau of Weights and Measures, but pay attention to that receipt. Bring it up with the cashier if you're seeing something that's inconsistent in question. And then if you're not getting a result, be sure that you're filing a complaint so that can be reviewed with the store.
I actually had that happen at a grocery store the other day. The other week, couple, 3 weeks back, where there was something that I knew when I picked it up that it was on sale. And then when I looked, when they were putting it in, that was the regular price. And I said, wait a minute, should be a sales price. And so the person who was there sent somebody else back to look. And then they said, oh, you're right, we should get this changed. And they changed it. But
right. So computers are so centralized. I mean, usually one of two things are happening there. Either the prices aren't downloaded to all the registers, or something doesn't happen and the ads get posted and it gets mailed out and online. Or the postings are still left up on the shelf and the registers have all changed to the new pricing. But, you know, yesterday's sale is still sitting there on the shelf. And state law is that you need to sell it at the lowest advertised price. So if that sticker is still left there from yesterday's sale, that's still the price that they should be selling the product at until it's all corrected. So,
well, it was only a buck and a half,
right?
But what the heck? A buck and a half is a buck and a half.
Well, you might have picked that store over another one because it was a buck and a half.
Well, it was a grocery store. Let's go to Henry in Brantwood next. Hi, Henry. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you, Larry, for taking my call, and I really enjoy your programs. Anyway, what I'm calling about is, I live in a rural area of the state, and so it's convenient for me to renew my vehicle registration through the DMV website. When I did that this past year, I was redirected to another website, and it looked just like the DMV website, and I ended up purchasing giving them my information and purchasing a set of maps that I really didn't need, and I ended up having to get on the phone to call this company and cancel my order. And it almost took as long for me to drive to Rhinelander to get my get that resolved and to do what I needed to get done. I'm wondering, was this something that was on my fault because I wasn't paying attention to what was going on, or why is that linked to the Wisconsin DMV website?
Hmm.
You know, I can't speak to their website specifically. That would be a question for the Department of Transportation. But what we can say is that we have certainly heard from consumers that think they're at the Department of Transportation, the .gov site, but really they are at a DMV.org or .com site that offers to do renewals and can process registrations. And there's a higher fee for doing that. And then they sit there and connect and link to the state site as a service provider, as opposed to really being the government. So they could then post other ads and make connections. But I'm not familiar with the state Department of Transportation website having that link. And if it was there, I would certainly communicate with them. And the other thing that could be happening, too, is depending upon the presence of their site, there could be all the associated pop-up messaging and direct ads that end up popping depending upon the computer settings that you have, that target marketing online. So I know that I put the preferences on my iPhone to get rid of all that advertisement and extra pop-up. So it's very thin, and I have to adapt for individual sites as a result, because I don't want to be tricked or led somewhere else.
Thank you, Henry, for calling. Gary in Rhinelander emailed in to say that applicants for a driver's license renewal in Wisconsin need to present their original no-copy Social Security card as well as a birth certificate or valid passport and your old or current driver's license. He says a lot of people don't realize this. That's something I have to check on that.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that either. It should be consistent for the entire state of Wisconsin on doing driver's license renewal, unless there is some security layer that's existed with this driver's license for some reason. But I know he's talking about a whole area, so
we'll have to look into that and see what we can come up with. Maybe we can look that up before the program's over. I'm going to get Dave to go online and look that up. Our engineer, see what he can come up with. In the meantime, let's take another call. Michael in Middleton, it's your turn. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Thanks for doing the show. I have received maybe the past week or two, two telemarketing IRS lawsuit threat scam calls. And I tried to send you one in voicemail, one on the landline, and I tried to forward you the actual call itself, but I guess you guys can't play it. Can I read this?
Yeah, go ahead and read
it. So and the number is 502-289-1771. 502-289-1771. It's a Kentucky number, and I contacted the Kentucky AG, and they said it's some scam. We have nothing to do with it. Here's what they said. They say, hello. We have been trying to reach you. This call is officially a final notice from the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service. The reason for this call is to inform you that IRS is filing a lawsuit against you. To get more information about this case file, please call blah, 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 blah on our official department number. And actually, the other one I got on the landline is, like, nastier.
Yeah.
And so I called these guys back, and I asked to talk to a supervisor, and the guy said no, and he hung up on me. I called back again, and apparently I got the supervisor because all he said was, suck my blank.
Man. So, there you go.
Well, it's nice that he read us the script of the fake IRS, because now all the listeners know what that sounds like. But they certainly, it's that season where the fake IRS is calling and threatening these lawsuits, because tax season has come and gone, but now would be the time when they would start if you haven't made payments on back taxes or delinquent in payments. Now is when the letters start and you have those notifications if there was problems. And so the timing-wise, they end up with success with some consumers in falling for this scam. But we've certainly heard from consumers that they have been threatened with court action, jail time, some deportation or driver's license revocation. We encourage consumers to just hang up. Do not engage with the phone call because they can call back and they can get very aggressive as well during the call besides just these, you know, threats of time. And they never want payment in a normal fashion. They want you to wire money or pay by gift card. And those are all signals because the government doesn't call. That's the first signal.
Thanks, Michael, a lot. It was interesting to hear exactly what they said. I've had that call, but I always just cut it off as soon as I don't listen to the whole thing.
Right. Well, it's nice that he had it on his voicemail, so
yeah,
you could have
cool.
it all.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. Ann in Manitowoc, your turn. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. Hi to your guests, too. I had a telephone call the other day. And I'll say her name was Kate. I don't know what her name was, really. But she was doing what I thought was a survey on your health insurance. Just answer a few questions, and we can enroll you in a health insurance plan. And I said, wait. No, I have a health insurance. Goodbye. And I hung up. Is that a scam that's been going around?
Well, first, good job, Kate, in just hanging up the phone. And without knowing the company name, it could be one of two things. It could be a legitimate health insurance company that's using a survey method to solicit. And if you're on the do not call list, that would be a problem because they're contacting you and that's something we would want you to report. But given, because a survey technique is one that is used by legitimate companies, as well as scam artists. And it depends on what type of information they ask. A scam artist is going to ask for that social security number and date of birth and all that personal information right up front. A legitimate business wants to find out a little bit more about your needs so they know how to market you and get you to buy what they're selling. But either way, we'd want you to file a complaint about that call so we could look into it further. And you can do that by contacting 1-800-422-7128. We also take complaints online if you have access to that, and that's at datcp.wi.gov.
There we go. Thanks very much for that call. Dave Potratz, our engineer, went to dmv.org. Is that correct? Or should we be at dmv.gov?
You want the .gov. You want the government site. That's a perfect example.
The perfect example. Well, he'll go to DMV. Yeah, well, he does that.
You know, and so when I'm looking for it, I Google Wisconsin Department of Transportation. And then, you know, I look at all the things that Google brings up and I find the one that's .gov and I start there. And they may then have other things within their site that they refer you to services, but watch that trail as you move through their website. But you want to see, you know, the department seal or the state seal, and you want to see the secretary's name of that department to really flush out that it's the true government site, because the services that provide for a higher fee and the scam artists buy up all the ones that are very close and very look-alike in their creation and fashion.
Well, let's go to Gail in Fish Creek. Hi, Gail.
Hi. Well, I've got the info for you on the driver's license thing, because we recently had to go and update ours. If you don't bring all of that extra information on your ID and all that in your birth certificate, you won't be able to get the advanced driver's license ID that will be required as of October 1st of 2019. If you don't have that by that date, You won't be able to board a plane. You won't be able to go into a federal building. That's the cutoff. That's the difference. So you can still get a driver's license, but you just won't get that ID license, which you will eventually need if you plan on flying or you plan on going into any kind of federal building. And we don't know if they might be changing regulations to include libraries at federal buildings or any other kind of public building that is sourced by the government, if you might be banned from that, too. So you might even be banned from going to court if you get a ticket.
So that is a enormous change. And Dave is nodding that, yes, that's correct information, is that he's...
I had to do that, Larry, with my license. I remember that now. I actually had to go home to get that specialized card that allows you to get into federal buildings and whatnot. I had to actually go home and get my Social Security card because I did not have it with me.
Did that information come with your renewal so you would know that ahead of time? If
that I don't recall independently, but I remember that, you know, it was physical and present at the DMV office. It was in Dodgeville.
Man, I'll have to dig around and find my information. I don't even know if I've got my birth certificate. I've been born a long time ago.
Well, and I'm just thinking of those, since it's a 2019 date that it starts, those who don't need to renew before that date, what will happen? I wonder if a passport will be an acceptable replacement. I know it would be for flying. You know, they accept passports, but I don't know for the entry for the other buildings and things. So,
Well, we learn something every day here, don't we?
That's right. It's not an on-point consumer protection thing, but now we know for the questions that everyone has about protecting that Social Security number, and that's great that people are questioning that process.
Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection with our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. We're taking a look at all kinds of consumer protection issues today here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Michelle Reinen. She directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Join in at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's go back to the phones. Barbara in Glenwood, Iowa, it's your turn. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. I really learn so much every time you do this show. But unfortunately, I'm a victim. A very large ear, nose, and throat practice in our area. It was announced on the media that they had a breach, and I got the letter saying you're affected, Barbara. So now I know that my information, all medical information and everything else I ever gave them when I saw the doctor there, has been stolen, or maybe. Do I have to put a credit freeze on all my accounts on myself now?
So given you want to look at the list of information that they said was breached, if your Social Security number is included in that information, or, you know, I have no idea from your voice if it was a Medicare number that really is your Social Security number, then that's something you would really want to consider, because a Social Security number hooks to your credit report, and that's how people get credit cards and access to other information. And putting a freeze on locks that down. It prevents someone from being able to access and take out that credit in your name.
You can still charge on your own credit card.
Yep. Yeah, you can still pay and everything. It just prevents new extensions of credit or new loans, new credit cards. But if the Social Security number isn't part of that breach, that freeze isn't going to assist in ways with that information. But it's always a protection tool that's there regardless of reacting to a breach. You can be proactive about situations.
There you go. Thank you so much for calling. And we'll turn to Guy in Milwaukee next. Hi, Guy.
Well, I was wondering, is there a way to get your credit report without going online?
You can get your credit report by making a phone call. Yes, you do not have to go online to get one of your three credit reports. You will have to give your Social Security number. Know that up front. And I'm looking for the phone number. It's 1-877-322-8228. So 1-877-322-8228 gets you to the annual credit report area where you can get one or all three of your free credit reports that you're entitled to each year.
And they will then mail them? Or
then they'll mail it out to you, yes. But you do have to confirm some information through the phone system, same as you would online.
Okay. There you go, Guy. And there may be other people who want to do that as well. 1-877-322-8228 is the number. Let's take another call. Joe in Potosi, thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I just got a quick question. I know of all the preventative things we can do. What success? Has anybody ever captured or arrested or put these people creating fraud in jail?
Yeah.
I can take my answer off the line.
All right. Thanks for calling.
So, yeah, because the states and the Federal Trade Commission and Better Business Bureaus and Attorney Generals, we all communicate and work together regularly. The FTC has had some very nice, large transactions or arrests and indictments of individuals over the years. I think it was October of 2016 now, where they broke up a number of call centers with India through international relations of the IRS scam. And then 20 individuals within the U.S. were also charged because they were the money runner side of things for the U.S. And they continue on with those investigations as that call has certainly popped back up. And then recently in the spring of this year, the FTC also had caught a tech support scam. The inbound call experts, and they also were known in advanced tech support, but they used the high pressure sales techniques to market those tech support services, and they were able to provide refunds to more than 37,000 individuals as a result of that action that they had too. So just two examples that we're aware of where these individuals are being caught and brought forward.
So it happens, but, you know, once one gets caught and another one starts up, that's
right.
The problem.
It takes time to catch them, one. And two, you're right, the next imposter is right behind. They have their dark web formulas mm-hmm. to just reenact these crimes.
Gloria in Sun Prairie, your turn now. Hi, Gloria.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I recently in the mail received like an overnight package that had a large check in it, and it was addressed, the package was addressed to me. I had to even sign for it, and there was a letter in with the check, and the letter said to contact them before I took the check to the bank. So right away that was, you know, a red flag. And then in the bottom of the letter it said that I needed to send money to two other people. I believe I got my address from a job search site because basically they said that I would be investigating Walmart and that I shouldn't tell anybody at Walmart what I was doing. And so I just didn't know where I should go with this information, if I should have went to the Postal Service because it was a scam being done to the post office, if I should have went to the police department. But after listening all day, I know I should have contacted you.
Well, actually, you are dead on with all three. So what the Postal Service, because they are using the mail, the Postal Inspection Service would be very interested, and they'd be able to look at that very large picture. Contacting Consumer Protection, we would also dig in and work with our postal inspector partners on that, but we'd also try and get the word out. And then the police are always available as an option because they'll redirect you to any of those options. But that was a perfect example of a shipper scam and secret shopper tied in that likely had an advance fee fake check component to it. And you recognized all that and did not act. So that is great. But those do happen from individuals seeking employment because it's a, you know, air quotes, a job for individuals to do that secret shopper work.
Thanks, Gloria. Appreciate your call. And Jackie and Madison, your turn. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I know that you guys have been recommending that we should freeze our credit, but when you go on the credit online, it asks for your Social Security. And then I'm hearing that, you know, like there's all these different sites that can, you know, that can be fraud. So I'm wondering, is it better to call the companies to freeze your credit or go online?
So they're online, if you have a secure system and know that you are at the proper website, is just fine to use. So you want to make sure that your computer, you've done all your virus detection and have the latest operating system. And then we have a fact sheet on our website that says this is the place that you go for each of the three credit reporting agencies to put the freeze on, because you have to go to each one. If you do it, some will allow you to do it by mail, but they won't let you, as I understand it, process the entire thing by phone because they need particular pieces of verification. I know that to be true for if you're putting a freeze on for the children. I will say that as of September 21st, nationally, there was legislation passed, and it takes effect September 21st, where putting a credit freeze on will be free. And right now, that in Wisconsin, they're still able to charge the $10 because that's our state law. And the reason for the September delay is, of course, implementation time for this. So, you know, consider that factor, and it might be worth paying the $10 to each of the three right now, but if you can hold off on any thaws, wait for that September time period so you don't have to pay the $10 thaw fee.
Just to go along with that, Diane called to ask if you can get a copy of your credit report if your credit is frozen, if you freeze your credit.
You're still entitled to one of the free credit reports, but I know that if for employment they do background checks, you need to work to put the thaw on because everything is locked down. If you're looking for a loan, I'm not 100% sure on the free credit report check. I think you need to thaw in order to get one of those, but you're still entitled to it free.
Let's go to Jim in Appleton next. Hi, Jim. Thank you for calling.
Thanks. I'm a physician here in this area, and I have a number of patients who I feel may have been defrauded or taken advantage of by so-called stem cell therapy clinics. I'm wondering who's responsible for vetting these entities and who could I contact to report what I feel may be possibly fraudulent behavior.
I would suggest that you reach out to Consumer Protection to us because then we can work with the other appropriate entities depending upon what the fraud claim is. If it's a representation of the medical benefits that they would have from this, it could fall within Consumer Protection, and we'd work then on any case with Department of Justice. So you can certainly file a complaint online. We would want the individual consumers to also be filing. So we'd ask that you work with those patients there, but you can go to datcp.wi.gov or call to have a form sent to you at 1-800-422-7128.
Did you get that all, Jim?
I did. Thanks
all
a
right.
lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Jacob in Madison, hello.
Hi, I'm calling just to find out if there's a way that I can block some calls. I'm regularly getting every day, once in the morning, once in the evening, a call that I never answer. It comes across on my caller ID as restricted, but there's never any number associated and there's never any message. Is there a way that I can stop these restricted calls from coming twice a day.
Is it a landline or a smartphone that you're working with?
My own phone is a smartphone.
Okay. So with smartphones, there are different applications, apps that you can purchase to block different calls. And I think when that call is received, you can, Larry, you work with them more than I do in restricting the calls.
Yeah, you can. Well, I have the one that I use is Hiya. That's a free one. And that one just tells you right away if it's a scam call, but I don't think you can block it.
And then there are other apps that as you receive calls and you want to say block this call for the future, you can click that. And sometimes within the phone, the smart device as well, you can, you know, say, because you see that appearance, go into that and say block this call in the future. And if it's coming from that same number restricted, it could block future ones.
Yeah, so that's something to look into for sure. Thank you very much for that call. We're visiting today with Michelle Reinen. She directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. All our lines are open. We can get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And we're going to take a look at the news and the weather. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll be back with Michelle Reinen. You stay with us. Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. We're taking a look at consumer scams today with our guest, Michelle Reinen. She directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Great to have her along. Thank you so much for listening in. Number to call to join in, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And caller's online, so we'll take a call next from Cheryl in Cecil. Cheryl, thank you.
Hi, thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Europe in June, and we got home the 22nd. I had my purse stolen in Barcelona, and when I had to have another, I did get a temporary passport in Spain. But when I got home, I did change all my cards, and I actually did go on and get the credit freeze on my my credit. Is there anything I need to do with Social Security? I am on Social Security, and I don't know if they have to know about it.
Was your Social Security card in the purse that was stolen?
No, but the Medicare card was.
Oh, and you hadn't gotten your replacement card yet, so that
nope.
Number was there.
No, actually, I got the replacement card in the mail when I got home.
Oh, right. But so it was in there and stolen and had your Social Security number on it. I would report it to Social Security Administration so they're aware and they can determine whether or not they need to do any flags. But then you can do a regular review, audit, monitoring of your Social Security statement on a regular basis by getting the online report. So I would let them know about that. Anything that was in your purse, I would contact all of those individuals.
Yep, there we go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions and comments. Brad emailed to say he has a small business and was contacted through email by a potential client. They wanted a very expensive service, and they hashed out all the details via email and text. When it came time for payment, they claimed that his card service would not accept their card and that they could provide a card service for free that would work. He ended the deal right then and there, thinking it was some sort of phishing scam. Did he do the right thing?
That seems like a potentially good move there. You know, I certainly know that certain cards don't always work with all card services, but you can then contact your card service to find other ways and methods of payment and work those out. You wouldn't have to use one that the person paying is controlling or initiating in that way. That would certainly drive me to question whether or not I'm going to receive my payment.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's go to Will in Minocqua next. Will, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I've got a question about spoofing numbers that show up on a telephone screen. I've received a number of these telling where they're advising that I could reduce my student debt, and they're working with the federal government to do that, and I have no student debt. And so I got a number of them, and I decided I was going to try to get to the bottom of who's behind it. And I did find out who was behind it. It was a company in California that was basically a company that I guess legitimately assisted people, as far as I could tell, in trying to deal with student debt. But they really weren't working with the federal government. And I sort of played along with them. But here's the thing. Their number shows that it was a Wisconsin number. And so I answered the phone call. But it really wasn't. Now, I think that they did that because they wanted me to answer the phone. And they didn't want it to be an out-of-state number. And that, to me, is deception. And I'm wondering, is there a private cause of action that someone can bring under those circumstances against the company? Basically, or possibly a class action for the deception of using what I would call a spoofed number.
Mm-hmm.
So there are regulations in the state of Wisconsin that you cannot misrepresent the caller ID in the call appearance. And that is in one of our administrative codes. It's ATCP 127 in the telemarketing section of that code. The administrative codes do have private rights of action, but there usually needs to be what I understand to be pecuniary loss. So there needs to have been a loss suffered as a result of that action. So you'd then want to consult with an attorney if you're not one yourself and look at what action you may have. But on the other side, for enforcement, I would encourage you to file a complaint and provide the information. And if you're on the do not call list and received these calls and then the caller ID appearance was misrepresented, there may also be an area where the state could have enforcement authority over the matter, which is different than individual recovery or loss or class action suits. So you could do that and provide that information at datcp.wi.gov or have a form sent from 1-800-422-7128.
There we go. Good luck. Thank you so much. It's probably worth following up on, huh?
I would really like to see that complaint.
Yeah. Will, did you get the information you needed there?
Yeah, I can't write it down, but I'll be able to get it offline. I am on the do not call list, and I get calls anyway. So, I mean, I as far as I can tell, the do not call list doesn't really stop people. But anyway, I will follow that advice. Thank you very much. Enjoy the show.
All right.
Yeah, to follow on what Will said about the do not call list, I know that that's definitely a sentiment we've heard before. And what it does is it filters out the companies who are following the law from the companies who are not following the law. And here it appears as though he received a call from someone who's not following the law. So it's easier to decide who you want to do business with.
Yeah, that's for sure. Thanks again, Will, for a call. And you could get an app. That Hiya is the example, is the one that I use, that even on local numbers, local originated numbers, it'll always say if it's, well, I don't know if it always does, but it certainly seems to say it's a scam, even if it's a local number.
Yeah, great.
So let's go to Helen in Madison next. Hi, Helen.
Hi. Yeah, I am about to move. I'm going to be moving in September from one very small apartment to another very small apartment. So I called a mover and asked for an estimate, and I got what sounded like a very large estimate. They estimated it would take about 8 hours to move my furniture, and I just don't have that much. So I'm wondering, how can I follow up on this? How do I find a really good, reliable mover? What do you suggest, please?
Well, you know, movers are tough in that you likely need to shop around, talk to friends or family who may have moved to see who they've used. And I would get a number of competitive bids and get those in writing, even if it means an email back to you, what it is they're covering in regards to the move. I mean, does it include that they're doing the packing, or you do the packing and they're just doing all the loading, unloading, and make sure that each one that you're comparing is the same in its bid fashion.
Yeah, so if you get, you know, you think that's high, I would go to a couple more and follow Michelle's advice, and that'll give you a pretty good idea. After, say, three, you'd pretty well know.
Right, and, you know, they're going to say, often from my past experience, it's how big is the place? So, you know, one bedroom, two bedroom, living room, family room, I mean, this is apartment, so it's different. But then they're going to ask, you know, any particular large items, decide on a truck size, but then do they need one mover, two guys, four guys, situation, and all that's going to go into the pricing.
Yep, there we go. Thank you very much for calling, Helen. And on to Dolores in Milwaukee next. Hi, Dolores.
Hello. I received a letter in the mail. It's a message from the director of the U.S. Census Bureau. Your household has been randomly selected to complete a very important national survey. And it looks legitimate. I looked online. I guess it is. The only thing I don't like to do is do the survey, the census online. It says it's using the internet to collect this information. You can have one by mail, but I guess they want you to do it online. If you don't, then you have to wait for everything. I think you can call, but I don't want to do it. I know it's pretty lengthy from what I read about.
Okay.
Yeah, there were some censuses going around. So every year they contact 3.5 million households nationwide to participate in the ACS census. And it's different than the 10-year census. And they do collect the information online by mail, by phone, or in person. And you are legally obligated to answer all the questions as accurately as you can if you are selected to do this. But you can call to confirm that you are on the list as one of the individuals that should have been receiving this. And if you're not comfortable with the online, then have them do the mail and wait it out. And there is that obligation to the best as you can, but I would first confirm that it is the legitimate one and that you were on that list to be selected to participate in it.
There should be a phone number.
Yeah, so you could call the Chicago Regional Office to check legitimacy, and it's 800-865-6384. And that's a number of, are you in the survey, to check. And I believe you can also check online at thecensus.gov to see if you were one to have received this survey.
So that number was 1-800-865-6384. Dolores, did you get that?
Yeah, I didn't want to wait and not contact somebody because it sounded quite important. So.
Yeah,
and that's good. And you're using those, you know, sources you found to verify that. So that's all good. But if you're on that list, then they do say you have to participate.
Yep, there you go. Thanks again for that call. Stella in Sturgeon Bay, it's your turn.
Hi. I have a question. We've been receiving information and publicity of the coming in September, I believe you said, of the free credit freeze at the credit bureaus. We did it years ago when there was that massive breach. My question to to you is I've heard nothing at all about will unfreezing be free and will refreezing, a temporary unfreeze and then refreezing, will those both be free? And will those be unlimited freeze?
So as I understand it, that yes, placing the freeze for both adults, children, vulnerable individuals will be free. It's all three are to have an online presence to do this, and that you will be able to thaw. I do not know yet if there are limitations, and we're planning to provide as much information as we have in early September in regards to this as the Federal Trade Commission and others, and they're ready to roll it all out for the September 21. So I can't be specific at this point, but I do understand that you will be able to thaw for free and it will have that PIN password. I just don't know if there will be limitations.
And we can talk about that in September.
Yep.
When you're on again. Yeah, very good. Stella, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. Jim emailed to say he saw an ad on Facebook for an electric surfboard for $200. He clicked on the link, and it looked sketchy, so he didn't buy it. But later that day, also on Facebook, he saw another ad for the same product with a different name. The link sent him to the same page as before. So he's wondering if there's any information that you might have on something like this.
I do not, other than to say it's not uncommon for goods to be posted numerous times. It certainly reminds me of different property scams that we see, rentals, fake vacation rentals, where they'll grab a legitimate property picture from a real estate ad or some other posting and then have it posted online under numerous names and contact information, but it's the same person behind it all.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks very much for that email. Appreciate your email on that. Well, we've got lots. There's one thing that I know that you wanted to talk about, and that was the Social Security scam.
Right. So yesterday, our hotline blew up a little bit with consumers reporting to us that the Social Security Administration was calling them and leaving messages and asking the consumers to call them back at that number. And if they didn't, that there would be a deactivation of their Social Security card, or that they would be fined. So this is definitely a scam that is circulating by phone. We do know of a woman that was on the phone for hours with the individual, but they're trying to verify and get your information to deal with this, and they want you to make that phone call. And again, they're leaving that message. So it's not just a robocall that is no message. There's this thing waiting for you when you get home from work from the government, and it adds that layer of emotion and threat and concern for consumers. But the Social Security Administration doesn't make phone calls. They would be broadcasting things if there were concerns. You'd be getting a letter from them. So just do not call that phone number.
There was also a settlement, I don't think we've talked about this, between the state and a home improvement company.
Yeah, so we announced that just on Friday with American Dream Home Improvement. We reached a settlement that includes more than $979,000 in restitution, forfeitures, fees, costs, assessments, all the things that come into that. But for consumers, there is a more than $582,000 that they will pay in restitution for consumers who were identified during this investigation as needing reimbursements. So the important part I want everyone to hear is that if you feel that you made an overpayment or were billed in excess of your contract with American Dream Home Improvement between January 1st of 2012 to last Thursday, July 26th of 2018, then you have 45 days to file a complaint with us to still be considered for additional restitution. But you need to file that complaint with us by that September 10th deadline. Make sure that you are indicating in your complaint that you that the company collected money more than you were obligated to pay, that you paid excess, and then we'll have to do the research and validate that claim to determine how much, if any, of a refund you may be owed for that. But they'll be monitored for 3 years under this agreement for the way that they conduct business and do disclosures and paperwork and warranties and all of that.
We had Marcy in Cottage Grove emailed to say she's constantly inundated with credit card offers in the mail, and she's getting tired of shredding them or tearing them up. On the bottom of these offers is an opt-out option where they direct her to call a number to go online to be taken off their mailing list. But the first thing they ask for is her Social Security number. Is this option an above-board way to stop these mailings? Or not? And if not, how can she get off these lists? Do they really need her Social Security number?
So there is a national opt-out as opposed to just using the one. And maybe they're listing that at the bottom. I don't know. But the national opt-out is 1-888-5-OPT-OUT. That's 5-O-P-T-O-U-T. Or it's 1-888-567-8688. And then there's an online option. It's optoutprescreen.com. And they will ask for your Social Security number because credit is all tied to that credit report, and your credit record and history is all tied to that Social Security number. So in order to confirm that they are going to opt out on your record, you need to provide that Social Security number.
And lots of people have been saying, what was that free credit card report number that you were gave out earlier?
So to get your annual credit report, it's 1-877-322-8228.
And we've had lots of people calling in asking for clarity on the driver's license issue. And I think probably the easiest way is to give the web address, because we were online to that web address. And let's see if we...
Yeah, so where I found a nice listing of information was wisconsindot.gov. So if you go to Wisconsin, type it out, dot.gov, then they have the Real ID additional requirements, which this all falls under that Real ID. And I think that's the key words we were missing through this conversation.
Was Real ID.
Yeah, this is all under those Real ID requirements.
Well, on that note, we are out of time. You're going to be back in September, September 6th, actually. So not that far off. Will you have that information on the... that we were talking about by that time?
We certainly hope so. We'll have everything that we have ready to go for our conversation on the national credit freezes.
Michelle Reinen, our guest today. Thanks, Michelle. She directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Tomorrow on Garden Talk, we'll talk with a UW Extension horticulturist and, of course, answer your gardening questions. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. Please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network.